This is Anna Hartley on the Friday the 24th of January 2025 for the Stories of the Docks project. Could I ask you to tell us your name and your year of birth?
My name's Kenneth Henry Bartle. I was born on the 18th of June 1946.
And could you tell me about your family history in the fishing industry or your links to Grimsby Docks?
Yeah, I have a long history with family on the docks. My first grandfather, who I didn't know, he was a pre-World War I fisherman. He was born in Hull, but he moved to Grimsby and was fishing out of Grimsby. And he consequently met my grandmother, who came from Hartlepool. She'd moved, their family had moved down here, and he carried on fishing out of Grimsby until World War I started. He was then called up into the Navy in 1914, and he was in the Navy until he got demobbed in 1920. When he got demobbed, he continued, he didn't go back fishing, but he continued working on Grimsby Docks, and he worked on Grimsby Docks until he died in 1931. My other grandfather, he was worked on the docks. He was in the Merchant Navy during World War I. The ship he was on got torpedoed in 1918, but luckily he survived. And when he left the Merchant Navy, he continued working on the docks, and he worked as a fitter's mate. And he worked on the docks till he retired, and consequently until he died. And he worked for one of the local fishing companies, fishing trawling companies, which was Consolidated Fisheries. And he worked after the Merchant Navy all his life working for Consolidated Fisheries as a fitter's mate. And his brother worked for Consolidated as the fitter. So his brother was the fitter and he was the mate. So that covers World War One. My own father, he was a pre-war World War II fisherman from round about 1928 till 1940. He got called up into the Navy, into the Royal Naval Patrol Service in August of 1940. And he was in the Navy until he got demobbed in 1945. When he got demobbed, he's another one, he never went back fishing, but he worked as a lumper, which was unloading the trawlers, the fish from the little. And as we look out the window, on that pontoon is where he worked until he retired. So consequently, that's my part of my family history. Where I come into it, well, first of all, I've got an elder brother who was born before the war, World War II, and I was born when my father got demobbed after the war. My brother served an apprenticeship on the docks as a boilermaker, and he worked for E. Bacon Engineering, but that's when it was here, and he served his time as a boilermaker with E. Bacon's until he finished his apprenticeship, and then he got called up into the army to do 2 years national service, and then when he came out he continued as a boilermaker working on the steam trawlers. Myself, I served as apprenticeship as a boilermaker plater, but I served part of my time on the other dock, on the Royal Dock at J.S. Doig's, who was the local shipbuilder. And I worked with J.S. Doig's until they got took over by the Ross Group. When the Ross Group took them over, I got transferred to the fish docks, and I finished my apprenticeship with Ross Group Engineering on the fish docks, and I worked on the docks on and off, because at the same time they was building the two new refineries as well, and was paying more money, so you alternated between jobs. So after my apprenticeship, I was on the docks. The last time I worked on the docks was until 1979. And I didn't, the last firm I worked for wasn't Ross Group, it was Thomas Robinson's. and after 1979, then I went abroad and worked abroad. So the decline of the fishing industry had already started. And with my vision, I thought, well, I may find myself out of work. So I got a job abroad, and I worked for an American construction company for 34 years, working in different parts of the world. And I ended up being a senior construction manager with them until I retired. So that, briefly, is my history.
And at school, was it your ambition to go into the fishing industry or to work on the docks?
Well, originally my ambition was to follow my father and go to sea as a fisherman. But my mother put her foot down and said, no, you're not going fishing. So consequently, my father had good connections with the engineering industry, and he managed to get me an apprenticeship as a boilermaker. So although probably it wasn't my first choice, by tradition, and my brother being a boilermaker, I just went with the flow. And I ended up serving a 5-year apprenticeship. So.
And can I ask, what did a typical day look like working on the docks here for you?
It was very, very busy. The port at the time, I think, when I got transferred to the fish docks, I think there was around about 600 trawlers sailing out of Grimsby. So the docks was always packed. And the atmosphere in the docks, it was like a town within a town. It had its own banks, its own cafes, and all sorts of industries. I mean, it was absolutely buzzing. And of course, as you go off the docks onto Freeman Street, that was the most prominent street in Grimsby at the time. All the fishermen used it, used all the pubs. The engineers went down there, they spent their money and everything else. So in its prime, it was an absolute alive town. And it was only the decline of the fishing industry, then it collapsed. All the money went, so nobody had lots of money to spend like it is, and Freeman Street ended up more or less derelict for quite a long time. It's only just started now reviving itself.
And how did you feel about working at Doig's where you first started?
Oh, I loved it. It was quite a mixture of a workforce, actually, because as well as the local people, there was a lot of people came down from Newcastle, Jarrow and everything. So I would say about 30% of the workforce was what you call Geordies. I think that was mainly because the shipyard manager was a Geordie himself. And I think he fetched quite a few people down, because at that time, Doig's was quite busy building lots of trawlers for the different trawler owners, even trawler owners down in Lowestoft and places like that. So it was a very busy, and prior to me starting, they built Admiralty minesweepers as well. During my apprenticeship, they did build ships for the Navy, but there was only small tenders and a couple of Admiralty tugs and things like that. But again, everything was buzzing. The workforce fully engaged. There was very little unemployment at the time, so it was a pleasure to work there. And of course, I'd always had what I call an engineering intellect. So I was always interested in it. And not only that, while I served my time, I also did 5 years at the technical college for shipbuilding. So I thoroughly enjoyed it while I was doing it. It was sad with the decline of the fishing industry, but I had a new career. I worked in construction. Mainly petrochemical construction, building refineries, power plants, pharmaceutical places like that. And from being like a supervisor, I ended up as a senior construction manager, and it was quite a big American engineering and construction company. And as I say, I worked for them for 34 years all over the world. So I had a very interesting career both times. So although I enjoyed the shipbuilding and ship repair, my new career I enjoyed just as much. And I got to see a lot of places, although I didn't get many tourist places because I was always working. But that's about how my working life was.
And you said you started as an apprentice first on the docks. Roughly what age were you when you started here?
Well, I started at Doig's straight from school when I was 15. You could only start your apprenticeship when you were 16. So I did a year as like a T-boy gopher and sweeper upper or anything else that you did, working with a tradesman, and the tradesman would say, hey, come on, make my tea or something like that. So it was, the first year was, you were a bit of a slave, if I can call it that. But 16 years, then it got serious. You started your apprenticeship. I served a 5-year apprenticeship. As soon as I was 16, I got put with a particular tradesman for so long to learn one aspect of a trade. And then you'd move on to another tradesman who was doing a different trade within a trade. So you was passed between tradesmen after every 6 months, say. So you learnt every aspect of what they was doing. So, and it was beneficial. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And for me, it turned out very good. But I was always determined to learn. I mean, some apprentices you could have weren't interested. They took part, a small part, and wasn't really interested. I was different. I wanted to learn. So that's how it was. And as I say, I came out as one of, I wouldn't say the best tradesman, but I come out with a very good qualification and learning. And as I say, I did 5 years at college, took two different, the first 3 years was one particular, and then I took an advanced course in shipbuilding, which was a 2-year course until I was 21, and then I finished my apprenticeship as well. So, not bragging, but I think I got the second highest marks in the country on my advanced certification from all over the country with other apprentices. So I was quite happy about that.
And could you tell us about a best memory or highlight from your time working here?
I think the highlights was the people. Can't ever remember having an argument with anyone on the docks. Everybody, there were atmospheres, but everybody was so friendly. You got on with people, even with different trades. I mean, if I served my time as a boilermaker, I would have contact with other fitters, engineers, who did the engine work and everything like that. But there was camaraderie. There was very nice people. There was a lot of characters. Certainly met a lot of characters. There was, I would say, some good, some bad, but not anybody that I fell out with. It was always a friendly atmosphere. And I think everybody worked for everybody as a community on the docks. Because as I say, it was like a town within a town. You had Grimsby and then you had Grimsby Docks. The atmosphere was absolutely buzzing here. You can't believe it. And I mean, the amount of cafes, you could go in any cafes and you'd always know somebody. And there was always be a friendly greeting, and then you'd have a lot of chit chat. I'd call it something else, but not for this interview. And my memories is working with very friendly, nice people. That's the best memory I have of the docks. As well as the work, which was always available, and you could earn lots of money, which you spent in the various pubs and clubs and everything else. But I've got no bad memories of the docks at all. Even the fishermen. I got to know a lot of fishermen because, like at school, a lot of the school when he was 15, when they left school, they went fishing, because a lot of their families was all fishermen or fishing related. So I, when they went to sea and they come in, we'd ever go out dancing or clubbing or whatever else. So I'd, as well as the engineering side, I got to know a lot of the fishermen as well. And as I say, I really can't recall having an argument with any of them. Although some of them tended to get a bit too much drink, but I can't remember having an argument. It was always a friendly atmosphere.
And what do you think is important for the younger generation to learn or understand about the docks?
I think it's very important to record the history of the docks and the people who worked and the industries. It's never going to revive. I mean, Grimsby was the biggest fishing port in the world, but it's history now. Education of how it used to be is very difficult, to be honest. I mean, one of the projects that we as the old Sea Dogs want to do is to go round like schools and educate the pupils of what the docks was like. And I know my comrade Martin and Cyril Cole have already done a talk at one of the schools to try and educate the children. And I think they got a good response from the children, because the children didn't know. I mean, if you think of the children these days at school, do they know where the docks is? Do they know what the docks did? In fact, I'll bet there's not that many of eat fish, which is sad, because that was the life of Grimsby. I mean, you can go back right to the 1500s or even further, when Grimm, supposedly the myth of Grimm supposed to have come to Grimsby. And years ago, before the docks was built, they used to fish in the Humber and outside and sell the fish on the beach. Docks didn't exist there. So, but it's difficult to educate the younger people. If the fishing industry came back now, you wouldn't get the younger generation of today doing the same as what the younger generation did then. They just wouldn't do it. I mean, when you look at the videos of the hard life the fishermen had, they don't want that these days. There's no way that they would do what the younger generation did then. But that was the main industry when, in my generation, when the pupils left school, the chance to go to sea. But that chance has gone. And I think we've got either 5 or 6 boats sailing out of Grimsby now. But they're all for shellfish, crabs, lobsters, shrimps and things like that. There's no big fishing trawlers whatsoever exist, which is very sad. It's, and of course, being political, I think the government had a lot to do with that. So it's never going to return. Sadly, I'm a historian. In World War I, World War II, of trawlers and trawler minesweepers, and I've done a presentation which I have on computer, and it's a story of Grimsby trawlers went to sea, got lost as minesweepers, how the families supported them during the war. A lot of the men went away into the war. The wives then, who was, should I say, kitchen sink bound, came out and had to do the jobs of the men who had gone away, because there were so many people called up into the war that it left a lot of industries without employers. So that's when women, I would say, that's when women's liberation started.
Thank you.